Well, we never really stop learning when we leave school, whether it's a new skill for a job or just the tough lessons from the school of hard knocks. There's a lot of evidence that learning is a lifelong affair. The Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, or OLLI for short, and that's what we're going to call it for the rest of the half hour, at Southern Oregon University is a place where people later in life who want to learn a skill or a language or even blues harmonica can connect to people with knowledge to share. OLLI is now recruiting instructors for its spring term, which starts in April, and we have two representatives from OLLI with us this morning. Irv Lubliner, let's introduce you. You are the blues harmonica instructor.
I do teach blues harmonica as well as a math class, yes.
And the OLLI Council Director.
Yes.
Okay. Paul Christie is the chair of the OLLI Curriculum Committee, and he teaches courses in history and writing. Good morning,
Paul. That's correct. Good morning, John.
Thank you for being with us. And so I want to start off with just a general question about what the history is of OLLI. Maybe, Paul, you can take this. I mean, once upon a time, there were popular programs at SOU offered through a program called Elder Hostel. Is this, has any relationship to that?
Well, it doesn't currently, but the roots stem from way back when. We just at OLLI celebrated our 25th year, so 25 years of providing courses. First semester was the fall of 1993. We had about 30 courses and 100 members, and today we've grown to 2,000 members, and we have about 100 courses every semester, three times per year. So tremendous growth over 25 years. But it all started back in the early 90s here on the campus of SOU and the environments with what was called back then Southern Oregon Living in Retirement, or SOLAR. And in 2006, we became part of the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, which is a nationwide organization. There's about 120 of them on college campuses and similar venues throughout the country. And we are one of those. We're one of the fastest growing in the Osher network. And OLLI is so proud this year to have been able to celebrate 25 years of bringing courses to its students here in the Valley.
So, Irv, can anyone enroll in classes, or do you have to be over a certain age?
Well, the target audience for OLLI are people 50 and over, but there's no requirement that one be at least 50 years old to take classes. So I have seen younger students. It's really for anybody who wants to learn and values lifelong learning.
And the cost of the classes?
One pays $125 for the entire year, so assuming that you have signed up prior to the fall quarter, paying that $125 entitles you to take as many classes as you want, fall quarter, winter quarter, spring quarter. There's a two-week period where people sign up for classes, and if a class is over-enrolled, then a lottery will determine who gets into the class. And so it's really a matter of how many classes can you get into. Some classes do fill up. There are quite a few classes for the winter quarter that are still not filled, and we're encouraging new members to sign up now and take those spots, which will become available as of Monday. But really, anybody who values lifelong learning, we invite them to join this community.
So it's kind of a subscription, really. You sign up, and you can take as many classes as you want?
In a sense, it is. Yeah. And this is not how all OLLI programs nationwide work. There are some where people pay a fee per course. Some OLLIs do pay their instructors. We have only volunteer instructors, and this allows us to keep the price down to the point where we are one of the most, maybe the most cost-effective program in the country for the students.
And we should point out that, although during this segment we're talking and focusing on the SOU OLLI program, for listeners in other parts of the JPR listening area, there are OLLI programs through the University of Oregon in Eugene, as well as Humboldt State University in Arcata, other parts of our listening area. So who decides the curriculum? One of you is the curriculum coordinator, I assume.
Paul, I'll let you take that.
Sure. So I've been chair of the curriculum committee here at OLLI for the past year, and we in our group of about 15 members, volunteers, sort through working with instructors, sort through course proposals, which come in three times per year. As we sort through those, we're trying to make sure that we've got a good balance of classes among the categories that are important to our members, categories such as arts, health, history, literature, personal exploration, recreation. We've really expanded over 25 years to cover the gamut of what the older learner is interested in. Right now, we're offering this semester that is starting in the winter, January term, we'll have 111 courses. We had 136 in this just completed fall term. And we're recruiting now for instructors who are interested in teaching in the spring 2019 term, which will start, or classes, of course, will start in April. But during the month of December, we're welcoming and inviting instructors to submit course proposals online to us so that we can review them and put them into our curriculum for the spring.
So how does an OLLI student tell whether a certain class is at a suitable level? I mean, when you're enrolling at a university, you know, you start with the basic course, you move on from there. Let's say, I know Irv, you mentioned you teach mathematics. We could use that as a good example. Let's say somebody is interested in learning more about mathematics, but they show up to the class and they're like, well, I'm in over my head. How do they tell whether they're ready for that particular class?
Well, Paul chairs the curriculum committee, but I did serve on it for 2 years. And we work very, very hard to make sure that the catalog description does a good job of describing the course. So the better that description reflects what a student is really going to see when they arrive on day one, then the better the chances that he or she is going to be pleased with having made the decision they have made. There's no requirement that one continue to attend the class. So occasionally, it just isn't the right fit. But the course description is really key. We have instructors that often reach out to students prior to the start of class via email and sort of start a conversation. And often I get questions from students about the course and what will they get out of it. Having taught math for 40 years formally, where I was giving grades and giving tests and giving homework and such, none of which goes on at OLLI. There are no grades. My typical student was in my class because they needed to be. They needed to complete a degree requirement. They needed a grade on a report card. When I worked with middle school students, they were basically working to get a grade. None of that exists at all. They're there because they want to be. So if they read a course description and it sounds like something of interest to them, I encourage them to give it a try. I often have students ask me, well, what if I don't have any musical background? Can I still take your blues harmonica class? And I say, if you want to learn it, I'm ready to teach you. So, and the same is true for math. Anybody who has a desire to learn, I welcome them in the class. And I'll say one other thing, and that is not everything has to sink in. I mean, if you had to be tested, then you'd want to be sure that everything that instructor said has made it into your notes so that you can study it later for the exam. I think the typical OLLI student will absorb much of what the instructor conveys. And if a certain portion of it just doesn't sink in, they can follow it up. They can follow up on it later or choose not to and just say, okay, I got quite a bit out of the class. Maybe I didn't absorb absolutely everything.
We're talking with Irv Lubliner and Paul Christie of the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute at Southern Oregon University. You can join the conversation this morning on The Exchange at 800-838-3760 or by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So we want to stress, as you mentioned, that there are no grades or tests or the traditional sorts of things that people associate with classes at OLLI. But we are also, our lights are doing something strange here. I'm not sure what's going on there. But I want to mention that there's also a possibility to get some college credit, Paul. Is that true?
It's true. Depending on the course and the rigor of the course or the type of course, what we do at OLLI is the instructor is invited to document and structure their syllabus in a way that allows us to submit that to SOU departments, sociology, economics, biology, et cetera. And if the department reviews it and finds that it's covering a wide enough degree of the information that they would consider a course credit, they can award that course up to one college credit at SOU. So we've got about 30 to 60 courses each semester that earn that one credit designation.
And do people take advantage of that a lot?
Well, they do because it gives you the ability to borrow at the Hannon Library, for example, which is very popular, and some other features on campus that make it attractive for our OLLI students to take classes that are credit awarded.
So what are your most successful classes?
Interesting question. You know, I guess backing up a little bit from that question, we focus or work with the adult learner. And the adult learner is a little bit different than other learners in that the lifelong learner is someone who brings a variety of experience and education to the class. So our popular classes tend to be classes that are either lecture-based. They're covering art history or the history of a particular epoch or perhaps a science, or they're discussion-based. Our OSHA students tend to like very much to get into classes that discuss current events or allow them to bring their own background to the classes. So they become very popular.
So what particular, I know one of the reasons that you two are here today is that you're looking for instructors for future classes. So what particular needs, if somebody out there is saying, hey, you know, I think I might like to teach a class, what are the biggest needs that you might have now?
Well, we did a survey of OLLIE members asking them what makes a great OLLIE course. And what was mentioned most often were knowledge, enthusiasm, organization. And so many of us who teach at OLLIE are experienced teachers, but that's not true of everyone. Some are just enthusiasts. And if somebody brings enthusiasm to what it is they want to convey, enthusiasm is contagious. Certainly, students are looking for a teacher that is organized, knowledgeable, but I think that enthusiasm is really key, and students pick up on the instructor's enthusiasm. And if the instructor is excited about the subject, usually students will get excited about the subject.
So when somebody approaches you with an idea for a class, how do you evaluate that? Do you have a vetting process for teachers and look at, say, do you have teaching experience? Or, Irv, you mentioned that you taught for many, many years, but how do you evaluate whether somebody's going to be an effective instructor in an OLLIE class?
Well, John, we have about 110 instructors every term, three terms a year. So for us on the curriculum committee, when someone approaches us and said, I've never taught at your organization before, but I've got a passion for art history or world history. In my case, I'm a retired federal executive, and I've always had a curiosity and a deep interest in Civil War history. So I came to OLLIE not as a teacher, but as someone who really wanted to share what they understood and knew about that period. So at the curriculum committee, we work with that instructor to fashion a syllabus, to decide on a number of sessions of the class. We can support anywhere from two classes or two sessions per semester to 10. And so we decide on how long the course will be, whether the course will be an hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours. And then within that, we design a syllabus that both meets the needs of the instructor and would be something that is fascinating and attractive to the students.
Great. We're talking with Paul Christie and Irv Lubliner of the OSHER Lifelong Learning Institute at Southern Oregon University. I'm going to take a phone call now, and we had a little power surge earlier, and my computer screen is completely dead, so I don't know who we're going to be talking to. But good morning. You're on the Jefferson Exchange.
Hello. Is that?
Go ahead, please.
Yeah. Paul and Irv, of course, are very exciting instructors, and the very important part of this, as you know, Irv teaches, among other things, harmonica. Isn't that the point I'm making? This is not just limited to academic subjects. There are lots of those also, but it's also a lot of fun stuff, and a lot of us old people get a lot of enjoyment, not just from the academic part, but also the social part. We make new friends, and it's an antidote to our loneliness, and it's just the best thing since sliced bread.
Okay. Well, thanks for that comment. And if you'd like to join the conversation this morning, by the way, you can call us at 800-838-3760 or send us an email, jx@jeffnet.org. Irv?
It pleased me to hear the caller talk about the other aspects of OLLIE that aren't necessarily taking place in the classroom. The mission statement of OLLIE does refer to us as an educational community, and it truly is a community, and it goes beyond just what happens in the classroom. There's tremendous number of friendships that are created through OLLIE. There are shared interest groups where there's no formal instructor, but people are just gathering because they have an interest that they want to explore together. There are a number of cultural events throughout the year. There are social events throughout the year. So it really goes beyond just what takes place in the classroom. And as he said, a lot of what takes place at Ollie, we're doing because it's fun. And often I will take classes myself just because I've never explored this particular area. I've never done improv, theatrical improv, for example. So I think I'll give that a try. And there's all sorts of things that I've done which are completely outside the realm of what I've done in the past just because it sounds like fun to try something new.
Are there have there been any instances where the curriculum committee or curriculum coordinator has been presented with a class and you're like, I don't think we're going to teach that?
You know, as long as a course is targeted towards the adult learner and fits into one of our categories, our subject categories, we're pretty willing to work with an instructor. Obviously, if a course is presented to us that presents some illegality issues or something so controversial that it couldn't be covered in a class, you know, we'll work with the instructor to pare that down perhaps. I do want to say that our motto is come for the classes, stay for the connections. And so on all the campuses where we have classes, you'll find before, during, and after classes, Ollie members gathering, sitting down, discussing topics, catching up with each other, making a date for coffee or something else. So as Irv mentioned, we have a lot of opportunities to engage Ollie members. And we don't just do it here in Ashland. We have our course Campbell Center location on the edge of the SOU campus on Francis Lane. But we also offer classes in Medford at the Higher Education Center at part of the Rogue Valley Community College, and we have several other venues as well. So we're serving students up and down the Rogue Valley.
We have just a minute here. I do want to bring another question in here. I read something on your website about shared interest groups. So how do those work?
Well, if there's a group of people that have an interest perhaps in reading books of a particular author, maybe engaging in some artistic endeavor together, they will just gather. There won't necessarily be an instructor. There might be a facilitator who just does communication with the group and makes sure everybody knows when they're meeting, for example. I'll give you an example, and that is I teach a beginning blues harmonica class. There has been some interest. It hasn't happened yet, but there has been some interest for some of the people who've taken that class to continue to play, not necessarily with me teaching them, but getting together, sharing ideas that they have come up with on their own as they continue to practice. And really anything goes as far as a shared interest group.
Great. We've been talking with Irv Lubliner and Paul Christie, who are from the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, and they're looking for students and instructors for spring term. We have a link to their website on our website, ijpr.org. Thank you both, gentlemen, for being with us this morning.
Thank you very much.